This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. Just about anyone who's followed sports over the last half century has heard this voice, whether it's talking about Christian Laettner in March Madness.
There's the pass to Laettner. Puts it up. Yes!
Or Tiger Woods at the Masters.
Oh, my goodness. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
That's the voice of Vern Lundquist, who built the foundation of a legendary career here in North Texas. He has a new memoir called, appropriately, Play by Play. Vern Lundquist, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Rick, thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor.
You're the son of a pastor. How did that shape how you approach this job?
Dad would deliver every Friday church notes to KRKO in Everett. Mm-hmm. And they would read these notes at a special half an hour on Friday. I went with him into KRKO's studios, and I was mesmerized by what was going on. So that was a spark. And then we moved to Austin, and in the eighth grade at University Junior High School, my speech teacher asked me if I would like to go over to the radio house at the University of Texas and play the part of a 10-year-old boy in a half-an-hour tape-recorded drama that they used as a teaching tool. No television, just radio house.
Oh, so your first job was actually in public radio.
Well, absolutely, as it should be, as it should be. And I was hooked.
You weren't born in Texas, but you moved to Austin at age 12, and you spent the better part of two decades in Dallas at Channel 8 and as the radio voice of the Cowboys. Do you feel like a Texan?
Yes, I describe myself as such, even though, you know, we didn't move there till I was 12, but I had 6 years in my parents' home. I went to Texas Lutheran in Seguin. I came back and worked at Channel 7 in Austin, 1 year in San Antonio. And then in 1967, after my third attempt to get the job, I was hired at Channel 8 in Dallas.
When you were at Channel 8, you kind of had a side job there that maybe reached even more ears than it did at Channel 8. You were the voice of the Cowboys on the radio. I actually want to play a moment from Super Bowl 13 that's kind of one of your definitive moments. The Cowboys are at the 11-yard line. Quarterback Roger Staubach is about to take the snap.
Roger back to throw, has a man open in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Drop! Dropped in the end zone. Jackie Smith all by himself. Oh, bless his heart. He's got to be the sickest man in America. Oh, Jackie was
bless
so
his heart. He's got to be the sickest man in America. How do you come up with a line like that?
Well, let me give you the background of that moment. We were in Fort Lauderdale at a hotel on the Intercoastal Canal. Jackie Smith had joined the team not mid-season, but early in the season when the former tight end Jay Saldy got hurt. And he and his wife had agreed to go live with me the Wednesday night before the game. And during the conversation, I summed up his career. And I asked him, what would be the perfect ending for you? He said, oh my gosh, it's easy to make a meaningful touchdown catch in the Super Bowl. So when he dropped the ball, that's what flashed in my mind, was that conversation on Wednesday. And I just felt empathy for him and the agony that he had to be going through.
As a game comes down to the wire, are you thinking about what you'll say when time comes to make the call?
No, it's got to be improvisational.
Right.
Alluding back to, this is one of my favorite phone calls I ever got. When Tiger made the miracle chip shot in 2005, I had a writer, I couldn't begin to tell you from which newspaper, and he said, I want to talk about Tiger's chip shot. Did you plan that? Did you script it? And after I gave myself three or four heavy sighs, I said, you know, I couldn't go to sleep last night, So I thought in my mind, what if Tiger comes to the 16th with a one-shot lead and he hooks an 8-iron way left, and then he pulls out his pitching wedge and he puts it up on the green. It takes a 90-degree turn to the right, and it hangs on the lip for 1.8 seconds before, I think I will say, in your life, have you ever seen anything like that? No, it's when you get into this craft, I think you hope to be present when something memorable takes place in front of you. Basketball, football, golf, lacrosse, volleyball, figure skating. And you hope something happens, but then significantly for yourself, you hope that you're up to the moment and that you can verbally enhance the experience of the viewers or the listeners. And I've been blessed, Rick, because I've had more than my share of moments, and thus far, knock on wood, I think I can end the career without screwing it up.
You've called just about every kind of sport ever played. Have you ever gotten in the middle of it and felt, uh-oh, I don't really get this game?
Yes, I have. I did the World Horse Jumping Championships in Aachen, home of Charlemagne, by the way.
Oh,
Aachen,
course.
What was then West Germany. I had never anticipated something like that. And we had what we call a turnaround. This was 1985. And it was the my analyst was Robert Ridland, who had been the captain of the United States equestrian team at the Olympics in Los Angeles, and they captured a gold medal. So here we are, and I bet nobody realizes this. There is a stadium in Aachen, 65,000 people.
Wow.
Solely for the sport of horse jumping. And it was filled to overflowing. So I looked at Robert and I said, listen, I've never done anything like this in my life. I'm going to need your help. And it was his first telecast ever. And Robert said, well, I know the sport pretty well. So if you can get the name of the horse and the name of the rider properly introduced, I can handle the rest of it. And that's how we got through it.
Now, there's no doubt about the sartorial highlight of your career.
Oh, my God.
It was a show filmed here called Bowling for Dollars, and the coast-to-coast collars, the leisure suits, as Dick Enberg might say, oh, my.
Yeah, I would say that. We taped that silly thing, and this was 74 and 75. Mike Shapiro and Ward Huey at Channel 8 approached me about doing this show, and I objected to it. It's essentially a game show.
Right.
And I was 2 years, 3 years into the cowboy play-by-play job, and I was worried about my reputation and my dignity. And honest, Rick, I was not comfortable with that show, but here I think is the important point about that program. It ran for 2 years. It was highly popular. And to this day, now here we are 43 years later, at least once a month, usually in a restaurant or usually in a boarding line for an airliner, someone will tap me on the shoulder. And I hear, are you Vern? Yes, I am. Well, I used to watch you in Dallas. And I know what's coming next. I used to watch you on Bowling for Dollars. And so here they are, and they have fond memories of that show from 40 years ago, 40 plus.
You were the voice of the Cowboys, the NFL, the Southeastern Conference over the years. I wonder, given all the research into concussions in the last few years and all the players who have died early, does it change the way you feel about your years in the game?
Yeah, I think it does. I seriously think it does. I'm not one of those who calls for the abolition of the sport, but I share concerns. I hope it never goes away. But when you've got players who played in the NFL, so that's the highest level of contribution you can make, and they say about their sons, I hope he never plays the game. I worry about that. So, yeah, it does affect the way I think about it. I mean, in the early 70s, when I was part of the Cowboy radio broadcast, it was the old adage about, tape an aspirin to your knee and get back out there. Mm-hmm. And there was not the concern that is present now about player safety.
You've been out of the booth now for more than a year. Do you ever get the itch?
Yep. My last year of the SEC just couldn't have been scripted more honorably and appreciated more by me. My last basketball game wound up in Madison Square Garden, so that was kind of a memorable thing. And then CBS asked if I would agree, and I've readily agreed, to be part of the Masters and the PGA. I've done 34 trips to Augusta, and memorably so. I love doing the Olympics with Scott Hamilton, and he remains a dear, dear friend of mine. And I said somewhere, okay, you got one event. What do you want to do?
Right.
And I said I would choose to do one more Winter Olympics alongside Scott. Scott taught me, and my wife taught me, to appreciate the sport because we both love music, especially classical. And the combination of the music and the athleticism makes that such an attractive sport. My plate is more than full, and I can walk away with my head held high.
Vern Lundquist, thanks for taking the time.
Rick, a pleasure always.